for the year as a church and for us individually to put God first. Together we looked at what it means and what it looks like. I also remember, I also told you if you remember, that the secret to do it is found in 1 Peter 2:21, where we read, "This is where you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps." The challenge of this verse in 1 Peter 2:21 is found in the last four words: follow in his steps. If we are ever going to put God first individually or as a church, we must follow in the steps of Jesus. I talked about this at the beginning of 2023. Finishing that sermon in January and in the weeks that followed, I kept on coming back to the word follow. I thought about it when studying and preparing for our look into the book of Jonah over the last several weeks. And I thought about it while planning and preparing for the summer and the months ahead here at Walk by Faith. All of that planning, all of that thinking brings us to today. Today we're starting a new sermon series called Follow. We're going to spend the next 4 weeks together looking at what it means to follow in the steps of Jesus. We will look at what it means to follow Jesus, the need to follow Jesus, how to follow Jesus' example of love, how to love like Jesus, how to follow Jesus' example of serving others, and how to follow Jesus when you're hurting, broken, and overwhelmed. I'm excited to see where this series takes us together over the month of March. I know we'll be challenged as a church, and I know we'll be challenged individually. Before we start, let's just pause again and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we've prayed many things this morning. We've praised you and we've asked. And God, we specifically ask right now that we can block out those distractions that might be good things in life that are on our mind. And we can focus in on a few minutes on what you have for us. In your name we pray. Amen. On June 5th, 1944, my grandfather, as well as 150 other thousand soldiers from the U.S. and other countries, waited to find out the moment that they had trained for had come. The world was at war. Hundreds of thousands of soldiers had trained for this moment, had volunteered to fight for our freedom. If you know history at all, you know that June 5th is the day before D-Day, the start of the Allied offensive to take back Europe from the Nazi occupation. As the soldiers sat there that night, looking across the English Channel, they had no idea what was to come, what the next day would bring. They had trained, they had prepared, they had studied the enemy, but they didn't know what the outcome would be. They hoped for a good outcome, but they didn't exactly know what it would be. These soldiers represent us. They had courage, they were brave, and they were disciplined. It took years of training and discipline and dedication to get to this point. It took hours, days, and weeks, and months of listening to someone telling you what to do. These men also had another thing in common. They were not only trained, they were willing to be trained. They had all followed in the steps of their leaders. They had all listened to their instructors, sergeants, and commanders. They had all recognized that if they are ever going to be able to face the enemy, they had to know how to fight the enemy. You might be asking this morning right now at the very start, what does June 5th, 1944 have to do with us today? The answer is so important for us to see, because today is March 5th, 2023, and we are at war. We all have an enemy, we're told in Scripture, who's out to kill, steal, and destroy us. We see this in John 10:10. He is out to destroy us as a church. He's out to destroy us individually. He's out to destroy families. He's out to destroy marriages. And here is the truth that no one wants to admit today. Our enemy has been winning a lot lately. It's time for us to take up the call to fight, to choose to be like these soldiers prepared and ready to face the enemy. Listen to me. We have a huge opportunity before us. Our moment is here. Your moment is now. Every soldier that was part of D-Day was trained. We must be willing to be trained. We must be willing to be taught. And that all starts with listening and following in the steps of our leader, Jesus. Imagine with me, if you can, a world full of Christians who follow the steps and the example of Jesus. Imagine with me a world full of churches who followed the steps and the example of Jesus. I know that that might sound impossible, but it doesn't have to be impossible for us here today. We can start. We can choose individually and as a church to follow the steps of Jesus. Let's dig into what it means to follow those steps of Jesus. When you study the New Testament and the earthly ministry of Jesus, the two words "follow me" are constantly being said by Jesus. As Jesus traveled and taught, he urged the crowds to repent and believe and follow me, or follow him. We see the need to follow Jesus at the very start of Jesus' earthly ministry, when he called the first disciples to follow him. Jesus told them in Matthew 4:19, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." As Jesus continued to minister to the crowds, in Mark 8:34, he said these words, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." And we see near the end of Jesus' earthly ministry, Jesus telling Peter, when Jesus restored Peter, Jesus telling Peter in John 21:19 to follow me. If we were honest this morning, saying that we will follow Jesus is easy, but actually doing it is hard. I don't care how long you've sat in a church this morning. You might have been a church member your entire life. But are you really following Jesus? To follow Jesus takes constant effort to deny yourselves, to take up your cross, and to surrender to God's will, even when we don't understand it. Jesus isn't looking for Christians and churches who say they follow. He is looking for Christians and churches who are following him through action or actions, not just words. Following Jesus means that Jesus actually expects you to do something. It means we should love how Jesus loved. We should go where Jesus went. If we're following Jesus, this is what we're doing. We should do what Jesus did. We should teach what Jesus taught. And we should hang out with who Jesus hung out with. The call of Jesus when he said, "Follow me," is to walk as Jesus walked and to live a life of radical faith and love. But there's something I can't skip over or leave out this morning. If I'm going to tell you what it means to follow Jesus, I must also tell you this. Following Jesus always means you leave something. Always means leaving something. When we choose to follow Jesus, we let go of the things of this world. The things that like to hold on, hold us tight. You can't continue to be as you were or as you are when you choose to follow Jesus and just simply add him into your schedule or routine. True followers of Jesus do not fit Jesus in and around their previously made arrangements or schedule. They don't fit him into their priorities or other relationships. True followers of Jesus make Jesus their first love and their highest priority. True followers desire to be like the one they're following. True followers take time to learn about who they're following. I'll be the first to admit what I'm telling you is hard. I was sitting on a plane coming back from Belize a few weeks ago, knowing that this sermon series was on the horizon. And I was sitting there thinking, what I'm getting ready to preach is hard. What I'm going to encourage the church to do is hard. And it is. It's hard to live and act and do what Jesus did. But that's what we're called to do individually and as a church. I wish I could stand up here today and tell you churches are full of people today in America who are following the steps of Jesus. I wish I could tell you all churches are following in the steps of Jesus. The sad reality, but the truth this morning, is more and more churches and Christians are following man's steps over God's steps today. In a time of history where millions are crying out for help, churches are becoming more empty and more silent. Yesterday in Florida, the Republican Party met and spent hours and millions planning on how to encourage Christians to vote for them. They did not encourage them to read their Bibles, but vote for them. The church has never been a political party. Never. The church is followers of Jesus Christ, and they go where he leads. Church's political agenda has replaced God's agenda far too often. The world desperately needs churches and Christians that actually follow Jesus. The world needs Christians and churches who are the hands and feet of Jesus, not the hands and feet of somebody that doesn't know Jesus telling them what to do. The world is hurting. People are hungry, oppressed, tired, lost, and out of hope. It's our job as Christians to be the light that shines in the darkness. It's not our job as Christians to wait for other Christians or leaders to shine into the darkness. It's our job, March 5th, 2023, Rowan, Indiana, to shine your light. If you're waiting for somebody else to do it, that's a big problem. It's our job to go to the broken, the hungry, the oppressed, the tired, the sick, and the lost. One of you told me this week, and I appreciated your honesty so much. He said, I just don't know where those people are. And I looked at them and I said, look around. You don't have to look that far to find the hurting, the tired, the oppressed, the lost, and the sick. It's our job to point all to the hope of Jesus. Today, unfortunately, this isn't happening, and it makes some of us uncomfortable talking about it. I'm not getting political this morning. I'm speaking truth. Our country has lost its way. We wait for a big speech to get pumped up from a politician, either one that's in the donkey party or the elephant party. And instead, we have the lamb. His name is Jesus. His way is the way, the truth, and the life. Let me remind all of us here this morning, today, the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians 12:27, where Paul said this, now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. Do you see what Paul is telling all of us here? Paul is telling us that if we are Christians, if you're a Christian, you're the hands and feet of Jesus. That's a big thing. We individually and as a church must represent Jesus to the people around us, the people we see. This is a huge responsibility, but also an opportunity. Every day, we see people who don't know Jesus. We see people every day who are looking for hope. We see people every day who are just at their end. They don't feel like they can go any further. What we do, what we say, tells others something about God. Friday, the weather, I already told you, was wonderful out Friday. Anybody agree? And I'm sitting in my office, and I'm thinking, all right, it's Friday afternoon. I'm not going to get any visitors today because the weather's bad. And there's one particular visitor, none of you here. You've heard me talk about him. Great person that likes to come and talk a long time. Again, it's none of you here, so if you're... I'm sort of thinking, all right, I'm just being honest with you. I'm thinking, I won't have to deal with this today because it's windy. I even parked my Jeep underneath the awning because, you know, it's windy and I don't want my hair to get all messed up. I mean, I'm thinking things through. Didn't even lock the door because I'm thinking, no reason for security. It's nobody's coming. Well, wouldn't you know, here he comes. I'm thinking, this has never happened before. I was stopped in my tracks and reminded of what I'm preaching to you this morning. Every day we see people. Every single day we see people who need to be shown the love of Jesus. And it might be rainy and stormy, literally. Or there might be a lot of storms and mess going on in somebody's life that we have no idea about. And every day we see people who need to be pointed to Jesus. We opened the Word of God together Friday, first time in a long time. Many of you prayed for that. We're reading in Isaiah, a favorite verse of Scripture that promises that God is with us even when we are going through stuff. Every day we see people, and what we do and what we say tells them something about God. I could have said, I saw him coming. I could have quickly locked the door from Lynn's office. And I could have hid. I could have. That sounds really harsh. I know, I'm a pastor. I shouldn't say that. I'm being real with you. And you can give me a hard time, but we all tend to do stuff sometimes. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, this is an opportunity. And it was. We should love how Jesus loved. We should go where Jesus went. We should do what Jesus did. I've said that three times this morning. You'll hear it again because I want you to hear that. The missions of Christians, or the mission of the church, is to not seek safety. It's not be a country club or a cool place to hang out. It's not to pursue comfort. It's to seek and love the lost, the hurting. Following Jesus means being his hands and feet. And let's be honest, as a whole, the church is not known for this much anymore. The church is not known for following Jesus, and we've got to change that. In order for us to start following again, we have to be honest with ourselves. And when you're honest with yourselves, it's like picking a scab. It's not fun. It's painful. It makes us uncomfortable. But if we're ever going to continue or start again to follow the steps of Jesus, there's some scabs we got to take off. And we've got to be willing to start following again. We have to look at what's happened, though. What's caused the lack of following in our country today? What has caused us individually to quit following Jesus? I'll be honest with you this morning, we could spend several weeks talking about this. What's happened to churches and Christians today in the United States? This morning, we're just going to spend a few minutes digging into it. The biggest thing that's happened is Christians today don't take to heart the words of Jesus anymore. They read a scripture verse and then they Google what somebody else says on a topic. And before they know it, their ears get tickled by, or their eyes, by reading what somebody else says. And they're like, oh, I agree with that one, but I don't agree with what the Bible says, but this person's right. This is what's happening today. Too many Christians and churches don't believe that when Jesus said, follow me, he actually meant it. Far too many don't think we are his hands and feet. Far too many show up once a week to hear a sermon and think they're good. They check it off for the week. Far too many don't dig into Scripture. The sad truth today is the church in the United States has a weak faith. Far too many pews, chairs, and seats are full of people with a weak faith. The thing no one wants to admit is this. The way of the world has seriously damaged our belief in God. What was once truth will always be truth and is the truth is being questioned and changed. The other big thing that has happened is Christians are distracted today. Churches are distracted today. There are many reasons for that. We'll look at a few of them in the coming weeks. Even though many are distracted, it doesn't stop the need. It doesn't take the opportunity that we have away. The world desperately, and I wish I would have capitalized that in my notes, desperately needs Christians that are following Jesus with their whole lives. The problem that's happened is we've forgotten our calling. we've neglected to follow Jesus. We prioritize our safety and our comfort over our calling. We'd rather criticize than love. We'd rather be right than take action. We'd rather keep for ourselves than give away. When Jesus was preaching his greatest sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, he talked about this. He warned us what could happen. In Matthew 5:13, Jesus said these words, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled on under people's feet." I hate to say this, but it's true. Far too often, Christians and churches have lost their saltiness. When man's agenda and the things of this world matter than God, churches lose their effectiveness. In the world's eyes, they begin to not matter. They just become another political movement or party. Nothing more or nothing less. I pray again that we are known as followers of Jesus. Period. You want to talk about revival? It starts with prayer and it starts with following Jesus. Not somebody that'll tell you whatever they want you to hear. It starts with following Jesus. In 2 weeks, we'll look at what it means to love like Jesus. And one of the things we'll look at is Jesus told people, because he loved them so much, he told people what they needed to hear, not what they wanted to hear. There's a big difference. Jesus tells us in Matthew that when salt loses its saltiness, it's worthless. Today, right now, we can turn the tide. We can choose to turn back and follow God. I don't just say that. I mean it. And I believe it. Revival is happening right now across our country. It started with the generation that many have labeled as weak and soft. Right now, as we speak, there's thousands of college-age kids meeting in parks across America, praying and reading Psalms together. That hasn't happened in a long time in our country. It's not sanctioned. It's not planned. They're just showing up. They're getting a snap or something on social media. This is where to meet. They're doing it this way so the cops won't mess with them. And thousands are showing up and meeting and lifting up the name of Jesus. Hear me today. This can start here. No one is stopping us from repenting and choosing to follow Jesus. The only thing that's probably stopping you is yourself. Revival could start here this morning. I believe that. We could turn back and choose to follow the steps of Jesus again. So far this morning, we've looked at the need to follow Jesus. We've looked at the opportunity that we have. We've looked at why many aren't following today. This morning, I can't finish my sermon or start our series together without telling you what it is to come if you choose. What's to come if you choose to follow in the steps of Jesus? I have to speak truth to you. The soldiers we talked about a few minutes ago knew the risk that they faced, knew the challenge before them. And they still went and followed the mission. I asked my grandfather before he died about 12, 13 years ago. He never talked about the war until the end. You hear that a lot about the greatest generation. My dad and I were sitting with him and we asked, when it was time to go, was there any hesitation? He did this. Zero. It was time to go. It was time to get on that boat and go. It was time to watch as your brothers that you trained with for years never made it to the beach. They were so dedicated and devoted for the mission before them that no matter what the cost, they were willing to follow. Listen to me, church, this morning. You have to realize, as your pastor, I have to speak truth to you. I don't want to leave anything out. There's a cost to following Jesus. There's a risk. It's going to take faith to get you through, because guess what? It's going to get tough. And some of you know that so well this year. Or the last 6 months, you know that you've been facing mountains and difficulty. Some of us know some of us in this room that are facing stuff. But there's other people in this room that are facing private battles, quiet things that we might not know about. But they're huge and they're overwhelming. I never, as your pastor, want to paint the picture that following Jesus will be easy. D-Day for the soldiers in 1944 was just the beginning. There was going to be several more battles, several more hard days. This morning, we must understand that choosing to follow Jesus is the first step, not the only step we'll have to take. Following Jesus is a lifelong journey, meaning we will constantly face challenges and hardships that will test our trust and faith in God. I don't say that to discourage you this morning. I say that to prepare you for what's to come, the journey ahead. But know this, this is the beautiful part. This is the good news. Remember this, no matter how hard it gets, you don't walk this road alone. God is a promise keeper. He will never leave you nor forsake you. God is a way maker, and right now, today, he's making a way. God will always be with us, even when it feels like we're alone, and he isn't. It was getting late on June 5th, 1944. Many soldiers thought the mission was being delayed again, thought their time had not yet come. As many began to stand down for the night, they heard it happen. The siren went off. The mission was here. Operation Overlord was ready and set to begin. Fear quickly came to the front of many of their minds, but it didn't last long. They were trained and prepared for this moment. As the soldiers gathered for final instructions, final reminders, they had a letter from Supreme Allied Commander Dwight D. Eisenhower read to them. I want to read to you the letter today as we begin to close. You are about to embark upon the great crusade towards which you have striven these many months. The eyes of the world are upon you. The hope and prayers of liberty-loving people everywhere march with you. In company with our brave allies and brothers in arms on other fronts, you will bring about the destruction of the German war machine, the elimination of Nazi tyranny over the oppressed peoples of Europe, and security for ourselves in a free world. Your task will not be an easy one. Your enemy is well trained, well equipped, battle hardened. He will fight savagely. But this is the year 1944. Much has happened since Nazi triumphs of 1940 through 1941. The United Nations has inflicted upon the German great defeats. In open battle, man to man, our air offensive has seriously reduced their strength in the air and their capacity to wage war on the ground. Our home fronts have given us an overwhelming superiority in weapons and munitions of war, and placed at our disposal great reserves of trained fighting men. The tide has turned. The free men of the world are marching together to victory. I have full confidence in your courage, devotion to duty, and skill in battle. We will accept nothing less than full victory. Good luck. And let us besiege the blessing of Almighty God upon this great and noble understanding. Dwight D. Eisenhower. If Jesus were to appear in front of you right now and ask you to follow him, what would you say? Would you drop everything and immediately go like the disciples did? Or would you ask for more time to think about it? Or would you stand up and follow? The journey will not be easy. God does not promise us a smooth ride, but he promises that he will always be with us. Let me repeat that again. God promises us that he will always be with us. Yes, there will be uncertainties. There will be. But God will be with us there to guide our steps. Our call has always been to follow Jesus, to be his hands and his feet. We need to go where he went, church. We need to do what he did. That means to serve the least of these. That means to love the unlovable, to forgive, to love our enemies. We'll get into that. We need to feel what he felt. He didn't see the suffering and judge. He showed compassion. When we do that, we're following Jesus. If you call yourself a Christian this morning, ask yourself this question. Are you following Jesus? I don't care what you did in 2005, 6, and 7, or 8, or 2015, or 1988, or 94. I'm talking about right now. Are you following Jesus? Are you actually following in his footsteps? Christian church, our mission is here today. It's March 5th, 2023. The tide can turn today. The world is lost and broken. The enemy has been winning way too much lately. It's time for us to fight. It's time for us to stand on truth. It's time for us to shine bright in the darkness, and it's getting dark. Our task won't be easy. The battle will be hard. But I've read the end of the book. We will not be defeated. God is faithful. God is with us. And God is a victorious God. Let us listen to our leader. His name is Jesus. Let us learn from our leader. His name is Jesus. And let us follow in his steps, individually, as families, and as a church. God, we give thanks this morning. The call and the mission of the church is a big one. The call and the mission for us as Christ followers is huge. God, I'll be the first to admit that I struggle often with answering the call, doing what you desire. Far too often I put my hope and trust in other people's agendas and plans. And God, when I do that, I take my eyes off you. God, I pray that we can block out the noise of the world and open our eyes and ears to what you have for us. Because if we look at what you have for us, that means we're loving, we're caring, we're looking out for the least of these, the widows, the broken, and the lost. God, that was your mission. That's what you did. And God, I pray that we take up that call again to be your hands and feet to a world that is lost. God, I pray that we start at our homes, our Rowan, Wabash County, Miami County, Indiana, and we are your hands and feet to wherever you have us go. God, give us courage, give us bravery, and give us strength. And we thank you today that you are with us. In your name, amen.